fiduciary duties and responsibilities. As agents, our fiduciary duties to clients are specific and can be remembered by using the acronym OLD CAR. O, obedience. L, loyalty. D, disclosure. C, confidentiality. A, accounting. R, reasonable care. These duties of an agent are the minimum requirements of any agency relationship. In addition, any requirements outlined in the employment contract, listing agreement, buyer representation agreement, property management agreement, the License Act, and TREC rules will also apply. Obedience. An agent must follow all of the client's lawful instructions. A client may reasonably expect an agent to arrange for certain services to be performed. For example, a client may ask for a survey, an appraisal, or an inspection report. In any case, be careful to have the client choose the provider. Always supply clients with choices for professional services rather than recommending one in particular. Once a client has chosen the provider, it would be acceptable for the agent to arrange the service requested. If a principal wants an agent to violate the law, the agent should explain the law and state that all agents are required to follow the law. If a client insists on illegal behavior, the agent should withdraw from the transaction. Note that a license holder may refuse to do business with a prospect at will as long as he or she is not doing so for reasons prohibited by the Fair Housing Act. Examples of illegal activities might include requests to discriminate in showing property or attempts to hide property defects from prospective buyers. Occasionally, a license holder will list a property that they feel is priced above market value. Listing a property above market value does not present an ethical dilemma, so long as the license holder has advised the seller of his or her opinion of the property's market value. However, once the listing agreement is signed, offering the property at a higher price, the duty of obedience requires that the license holder exerts best efforts to obtain a buyer at that price. The license holder, who immediately tells fellow agents and potential buyers that the list price is too high, violates the duties of obedience and loyalty. Loyalty. Loyalty means putting the interests of a client first. Loyalty is working to assist the client in all phases of the transaction to arrive at the best possible result, exercising maximum effort for the client's benefit. The duty of loyalty is limited by the duty of honesty to all parties. Therefore, the only time it would be improper to place a client's interests first would be in a situation that would require you to treat others dishonestly. Failure to demonstrate loyalty could lead to loss of commission, loss of license, and a lawsuit for damages, in addition to the possible cancellation of the transaction. As part of the requirements of loyalty to a seller, a broker/agent must work diligently to secure an acceptable offer on the property. Loyalty is a particular concern as it embodies all of the other fiduciary duties described in this chapter. Agency relationships occur in real estate transactions where the individual that the agent is working with is a buyer and the client is a seller unknown to the agent. Spending considerable time with a buyer, looking at multiple properties, and preparing offers can test an agent's loyalty. In some cases, the agent has shifted loyalties and provided representative service to the buyer while simultaneously violating a fiduciary duty to the seller. Loyalty also means that the license holder will exert full effort to locate a buyer for the seller at the terms stipulated in the listing agreement. The license holder must exert these efforts and be prepared to present all offers to the seller. The license holder must present all offers in a multiple offer scenario and offer any advice about their terms and conditions. When evaluating multiple offers, the license holder should consider the question, is this offer the best one for the seller, or is it the best one for my commission? Disclosure. An agent has a duty of full disclosure of all information relating to the property and the other parties in the transaction. Full disclosure includes such things as the broker's opinion of value, negotiation strategies, or techniques to assist the client in negotiating the transaction, the motivation of the other parties, and the financial condition of the other party. Ultimately, full disclosure to the client is required, regardless of whether the fact is favorable or not. whether the fact is found before or after the contract is signed, or whether disclosure might prevent the successful execution of the contract. The client is entitled to know the same facts that the agent knows. For a seller, changes in the marketplace may require additional disclosures during the listing period. For example, after listing the property, a few more sales might close that would support a higher sales price. The listing agent would be advised to provide the seller with an updated market analysis. The same applies to a declining market, where a price decrease might be justified. The agent must give the seller full disclosure of all offers made on the property. Changes in the local environment affect value and marketability. Changes may also require updated disclosures. Sellers and buyers should be apprised of changes that affect the values and desirability of an area. Examples include changes in traffic patterns, school closings, major development projects, and the location of sewer plants and landfills, to name a few. TREC promulgated contracts assist the license holder in complying with many disclosure requirements by advising sellers and buyers of disclosure concerns related to title issues, property owners' associations, environmental concerns, and others. Note that even though they are not in an agency relationship with a broker, customers are entitled to disclosure of material facts about the property. Material facts include such things as property defects in title, encroachments, problems relating to the survey, floodplain information, leases on the property, and any environmental issues affecting the property. When working with a customer buyer, the license holder must take great care to avoid any action that would enhance the customer's negotiating position. Disclosure of representation. At the first contact with a party to a potential transaction, a license holder must disclose to that party whom they represent. The disclosure of representation may be done orally or in writing. For example, when a prospective buyer calls on a listed property, the agent must inform the prospective buyer that his or her firm represents the seller. If a buyer's agent comes into contact with a seller or an agent of the seller, the buyer's agent must likewise notify that person that they are the buyer's agent. Real-world usage. When calling a brokerage office to make appointments to show a property, the buyer's agent introduces herself by saying, "Good morning, this is Mary Williams. I am a buyer's agent and wish to show your company's listing, 2345 Park Place, at 1:30 today." The listing company then makes the appointment with the homeowner. There is generally a lockbox on the door that allows entry at any time. Cities in Texas have different procedures for making appointments. Note that Mary Williams mentioned that she is a buyer's agent when making the appointment. This oral disclosure is sufficient. Confidentiality. An agent must keep any confidential information they learn about a client confidential forever. They may not disclose it without the client's written consent. The only confidential information an agent may disclose is information the law requires to be disclosed, such as information regarding the condition of the property or the title. At times, there may seem to be a conflict between confidentiality to one client and full disclosure to another. The agent must consider the duty of confidentiality first. Suppose a client asks for confidential information about another client or assumes a right-to-know attitude. In that case, an acceptable response might be, "Just as I will not disclose your confidential information to others, I will not disclose their confidential information to you." For example, if your firm had a seller whose listing expired, you might know the lowest price that the seller will accept. If the seller lists the property with another firm, and you now have a buyer for their property, you cannot tell your buyer what the seller's bottom line is. That information is still confidential because you learned it under a prior agency agreement with the seller. Accounting. If a broker holds any funds for a client or a customer, the funds are held in trust, and the broker must place them in a separate account established for this purpose. Commingling is mixing clients' funds with a broker's business, operating, or personal funds, which TRELA prohibits. A more serious offense would be conversion. When a broker spends his or her client's funds without authorization, that broker is guilty of conversion. Both commingling and conversion are serious violations of TRELA law. Section 11, 01.652 by the Commission may suspend or revoke a license issued under this chapter, or take other disciplinary action authorized by this chapter, if the license holder, while acting as a broker or sales agent, 10 commingles money that belongs to another person with the license holder's own money. TREC rules are specific about the proper handling of client funds, Section 535.146. Failure to properly account for money, commingling. I. If trust funds are held by a license holder, they must be maintained in the broker's trust account. Placing such money in a license holder's operating account is prima facie evidence of commingling. Xie. The balance of a broker's trust account shall at all times equal the total of the trust funds received for which the broker is accountable, provided, however, the broker may deposit and maintain a reasonable amount of funds in the trust account to cover bank service fees, including fees charged for insufficient funds. Detailed records must be kept for any funds deposited under this exception. Paying operating expenses or making withdrawals from a broker's trust account for any purpose other than proper disbursement of money held in trust is prima facie evidence of commingling money held in trust with the broker's own funds. When handling escrow deposits, the broker or sales agent associated with the broker is required to deposit the funds in an escrow account promptly. The License Act requires that this deposit be made in a reasonable amount of time, and TREC has defined that time as the end of the second business day after the date of receipt. The obligation does not begin until both parties have signed the sales contract. The signing triggers the need to deposit the funds. Most brokers do not like to use their own escrow accounts for earnest money deposits. Instead, they prefer to use the services of a title company. However, brokers often have escrow accounts for other activities. For example, a broker in the property management business may have an escrow account for deposits of rent and other monies. In a typical sale, the title company, as escrow agent, will hold the funds until closing. Suppose the transaction does not close for some reason. In that case, the money may be refunded to the appropriate party once all parties have agreed in writing. The title company will not release the funds without the written consent of all parties if all parties fail to agree in writing. Paragraph 18C of the TREC 1-4 Family Residential Contract Resale applies. Existing contracts, laws, and regulations protect title companies' handling of escrow funds. This protection does not extend to brokers, which is one reason why few brokers are willing to hold escrow funds. Reasonable care. Reasonable care requires that an agent exhibit competence and expertise, keep clients informed, and take proper care of clients' property. Reasonable care includes verifying all information related to a transaction and securing and locking all doors and windows after a showing. Clients hire agents to do more than merely locate property or find ready, willing, and able buyers. Therefore, agents' obligations extend beyond selling or locating a property. Real estate laws hold agents to a standard of care that requires, among other duties, to be knowledgeable about the land, the title, and the physical characteristics of the property being sold. The agent must use reasonable care and diligence in guiding the seller to arrive at a reasonable listing price, advising the seller client to accept a reasonable purchase price from a buyer client, always in light of current market values, making reasonable efforts to sell the property, such as open houses, MLS, advertising, etc., making available properties that meet the buyer's purchasing objectives, affirmatively discovering relevant facts and disclosing these facts to the client, investigating the material facts related to the sale and asking the seller questions, the duty to question, that will clarify the seller's needs and protect the seller's best interests, preparing and explaining the provisions of the listing form, buyer rep agreement, purchase contract, and other relevant legal documents. Recommending that the client seek independent expert advisors, such as attorneys, inspectors, appraisers, and accountants, when appropriate. Helping the principals meet deadlines and closing dates. Agents must exercise care by knowing the laws, financing options, and, most importantly, the level of knowledge and expertise the client possesses. Agents representing a buyer must realize that their duty extends beyond giving honest information to a customer. It extends to rendering sound advice and advising the buyer to obtain assistance from independent experts. When determining if an agent used reasonable skill and care in a given court case, the court may consider, in a similar situation, would a reasonably efficient broker in the community have exercised more care to protect the best interests of the client? If the trier of fact, judge or jury, answers yes, the agent has been negligent and has failed to exercise reasonable care. Duty to respond. The TREC rules require agents to respond to inquiries concerning real estate transactions within 2 calendar days. This duty to respond extends to principals, brokers, cooperating sales agents, unrepresented parties. For example, an agent received an email from their principal on Friday. The agent must respond by Sunday, even if it is just to let the client know that they received their email. Agents may respond through email, text, phone call, or the party's preferred method of communication. Failure to comply with TREC Rule Section 535.157 could result in an enforcement action against the license holder.